From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. We don't have Denis Villeneuve to the show as often as I would like. I don't think he's been here since Arrival, but he first came to the show for Encendie. I've known his work in a real way since Polytechnique, and I think what he brings to his movies is an interesting idea of somebody who thinks they know the world until something calamitous happens, and then they have to re-examine that world. That actually happens in his latest motion picture, an epic this time, his adaptation of Dune. Denis, first of all, welcome back. Thanks for doing the show again.
Thank you, Elvis. My privilege, my pleasure.
And this is interesting to me because you look at the movies you've done. They've been about people who think they know the world, who think they understand the world. In Arrival, we can see that the case of your protagonist in that film. Certainly in Blade Runner 2049. I mean, I think you've done this a lot with people who think they know what the world is. And it happens with Paul Atreides here in Dune. I wonder, what attracts you to that kind of character?
That's a very good question. Frankly, I don't think I ever looked at my work in the way you described, but I think that it's pretty truthful what you're saying. It does make sense. The idea of someone losing his virginity, losing changing his view, being in contact with reality, being shocked by the reality and losing his ideal view of reality is something that definitely is present in my work. Maybe coming from a very peaceful environment, safe, peaceful environment, and diving into the world and being in contact with the reality. Maybe I translate here my own life experience.
But even the films that you've written on your own, or the scripts that you've chosen to direct, I'm thinking about even Prisoners, really your first big entry into English language film, is about that very same thing. You said virginity, but I think it's these characters have a confidence about the world that they think that they know until this thing happens. You like the idea, it seems to me, of sort of shaking that confidence up, because I wonder if for you that's a way of sort of making this viewer, the viewer, and the your lead character kind of an audience surrogate, so we understand what that person is going through.
Yeah, there's always a will to create an immersive experience. Cinema is a very powerful tool for storytelling, and because it has such an hypnotic power. And when you do it properly, you can really immerse the audience and making them dive into someone else's point of view and embrace and vive and go through this their journey and get out of there with a cathartic moment that brings them in contact with something new about their own reality or give them a different perspective and their own reality, that I think it can be very rich. It's a huge responsibility as a filmmaker, of course, but there's something there. Now, I'm not saying that I succeed doing that, but that's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. You know, it's like to achieve that. And it's so beautiful and so powerful. It's at the core of the artistic experience, you know, and this is something that cinema is by far one of the most powerful artistic discipline.
It's funny because I think about, if we talk about kind of the trajectory of your work, you've gone from making intimate films to making bigger films, and the more intimate films, again, I mean, we've talked about this before, I'm sure you don't remember, but I'm still struck by images from Polytechnique. And you've gone through this way, you've turned the intimate into these epic stories, and you made these epic films into something more intimate. I've got to ask you about that, because there's been this interesting sort of almost converse effect that you've gone through as a storyteller.
You mentioned something at the beginning, images. I think that at the end of the day, our filmmaker, what we want to create are like images, meaning something that captures something with the camera that will transcend what you see, but that will bring a deeper meaning, a key that would create a key that would open a door to poetry. And those images are the one that usually the audience will remember, that they will go back home being haunted by specific images. And some movies can create one image. Others have several ones. But at the end of the day, I think that's the goal. That's what is cinema about. It's the power of evocation. And I think that's something that no matter what is the size of the movie, it's always this goal to create those meaningful images.
I guess what I was trying to ask is, in your earlier films, they were kind of small, intimate stories, but you made them about epic emotion. And in your past few films, that we go from Arrival to Blade Runner to now Dune, they're really big, epic stories, and you found something intimate in those stories. And there's a part of you that seems to kind of almost like to reverse the scale in some ways, if you know what I mean.
I see what you mean. I think that it's always about that tension between the intimate experience and the link with the society, or the link with the that tension between those fears. I mean, I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense in English right now, but it's that tension, but probably because of the resources I had, I was taking it from the other angle before, and now that I'm working with more resources, I do the reverse engineer. But it's like, it's this, at the end of the day, it's the same idea. It's like the exploration of human beings in contact with their environment.
No, that makes perfect sense. More sense in my questions, I think, is the treatment. We're returning guest Denis Villeneuve, whose new film, of course, is this adaptation of Dune. I guess, as you were talking about that, there are a few things that come to mind for me, which is at some point, you focus on a character or your protagonist has to figure out how they're going to deal with their fear, if that fear is going to overcome them or not. There's a moment in almost all these movies, even going back to August 32nd, your protagonists tend to have to decide how they're going to lead their lives.
You did your homework. I would say this. It's like a very. I try as much as I can not to analyze myself as a filmmaker, because it's interesting for other people. But I think it's important for me to look forward and not look back. But if you're asking the question, I would say that this idea of fear that you said is present in my work, it's an observation that does touch me, because I think that my own relationship with the world is, I find my main link with reality is cinema. Cinema allows me to travel, to be in contact with others, to explore reality, because frankly, I think that I'm very afraid of reality. I'm someone that is terrorized. If it was not from cinema, I would probably be in a cave right now alone drinking tea. There's something about this desire of making films that put me in contact with the world, and I can transcend that fear. But yeah, fear is something that is a part of me.
Wow, that's really interesting, because it's so present a force in thematic terms in your work. That becomes a moment, I think, where as an audience, we have the biggest emotional attachment when we're with the character. And we see it certainly here in Paul, when they're going to decide what they're going to do, how they're going to deal with it. And it comes really late in the film here, and not wanting to give too much away, but does this give you a way to kind of work that fear out of your system a little bit, dealing with these characters who are wrestling with their own fears?
In French, I would say it's the screen is an exutoire. It means that it's a place where I can express my demons and explore them and try to make peace with them. Like any other artist, I'm not at all original in that regard. I mean, I just, it's impulsion, you know, it's like obsessions. And it touched me that you can see that, because it's not something that I never thought of myself, but definitely it must be present everywhere.
No, I mean, maybe I'm being a goofball and bringing this stuff up, but I'm asking because, and you said something I wanted to get to. You said demons. And again, if we chart your films from the beginning to where we are now, you've gone from bringing very realistic demons to the screen to, from, you know, certainly going back to Maelstrom and Polytechnic to Arrival. I mean, those early films are about very realistic terrors that people faced. And these last few films you made, be it Arrival or Blade Runner and now Dune, have been about more kind of mythic fears. And I wonder what kind of pleasure you get in doing these fears that are more sort of fantasy based as compared to the very realistic stuff you did at the beginning of your career.
I think that dealing with realistic fears, what element coming out of reality, there's like always a huge responsibility when you do that. And it's also a burden because it's playing with darkness can start to get heavy on the soul sometimes. And to go more into fantasy or sci-fi, it allows to sometimes to go deeper in a more safe space because you know you are totally free because you're dealing with pure imagination. Maybe it's a way to approach demons in a more playful way where there's a bit of more lightness to it because when it's sometimes too close to reality, it can get quite dark on the soul. And there's like, I remember as I was doing a Sicario, I was saying to myself that I was in need of something of more light. And I knew that Arrival was coming after. And I was back then able to work on Sicario, which was like, pretty horrible story. I was able to work on that zone because I knew that after that there would be light at the end of the tunnel. And since I worked in that space, I'm more attracted to stories right now that deal more with that I would say kind of lightness. Because when you look at a movie like Dune, it's a tragedy. I mean, we are following a boy that will lose all his privileges and more importantly lose all his friends and families. All his universe would collapse around him and he would be stripped away from everything and get totally lost in the desert and finally be at peace with a part of his identity. And I will say more precisely, tame a part of his identity and then make peace with it. And it's like something that is kind of beautiful, but it's quite dark again.
One of the things that's clear about the way you think about this is you look for the poetry in the dark moments, don't you?
I don't know if I look for poetry in the darkness, but I look for the way out to be out of the darkness using poetry, maybe.
Sure, yeah. I get that because I think we're kind of saying the same thing. But I mean, it becomes this thing where you've got to use that to balance it or else we're just overcome by darkness, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And thank you. I think that at the end of the day, poetry is what we are left with to make sense out of this chaos. It's like it's poetry is our relationship. What makes us human? I mean, the beauty of humanity is poetry. Yeah?
No, because as you were talking about Sicario, for me, that's kind of the dividing line between almost like the first half of your career and where we are now, where not only the violence, but the threat of violence was so intense. I mean, by the second half of the movie, we're actually more afraid of something happening than when it actually happens.
Absolutely. It's something that I think the possibility of violence, the possibility of the event is there's something that the apprehension is a kind of horrible, and Sicario was an exploration of that. Yeah. And it's something that tension is something that I try to approach in other movies as well.
It's such an interesting course that you've charted for yourself, the aftermath of violence too. And again, we go back to those early films. I mean, all of Maelstrom is about the aftermath of violence in this way. That's both kind of funny and horrifying, but certainly in Sicario too. And the way you deal with the moments after violence are for you as important as the violent acts themselves, aren't they?
I think that I'm more interested in the impact of violence. That's why I tried, I think, and sometimes I fail, frankly, but I tried to show more the impact of it on the psyche of the characters than to make a show out of it. I tried to depict violence in its ugliness, in its rawness, and not looking away from it, but not trying to make a spectacle, not to trying to make a show out of it, but more to feel the ugliness and then to focus on the impact of it on the characters.
Why would you say fail? Because I wouldn't know that I would use that word. Where do you think you failed in doing that?
When you are a filmmaker, you have to be ambitious. and you have goals, you have challenges, but there's objective, that you have goals and you want to reach. And as you're working, when the film, everything that you are making, I think, I would speak for myself when I finish a movie, I see where I improve, where I had successes, and where I failed. There's always failure. I mean, it's like part of the process. I mean, and those failures would be the place where you can expand and grow and improve yourself as an artist. But that relationship with it can be painful. And that is why it's so difficult for me to look back. It's so difficult for me to watch my movies again. And it always takes me years to be able to rewatch my previous work. It takes me years to be at peace with a movie, because a movie is an accumulation of joy, yes, but of a lot of pain and anger. I mean, the reality is very abrasive. When you're making a movie, it's like you are dealing with a certain amount of frustrations and that comes from the process. And it's like, that's where you're going to be able to improve after. But it's I'm aware sometimes I say things and I'm looking at it as a goal, but I know that I was not necessarily able to achieve that goal. That's why I'm trying to make precautions, saying that I'm not sure if I succeeded. Yeah. It's more for other people to say, I will say. It's not for me.
Well, thank you for granting me some agency. My guest is Denis Villeneuve. His new film as director is Dune. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. We're talking reality and oppression with my guest. Denis Villeneuve. His new film as director is Dune. It's The Treatment. I guess when we're talking about this, though, for me, the poetry in these films often is there's a moment in the movies where we see one of your protagonists just taking the weight of everything that's happened to him, often alone. I mean, I think about Jake Gyllenhaal in that diner in Prisoners, or I think about Paul when his mother is sort of telling him what his future is going to be in the first third of this movie, and that moment where that realization that they can't go back. And you find such an interesting way, and we see it in Arrival as well, and you find such an interesting way to dramatize that moment of no return. And I wonder if that's one of these things that in these projects you've liked, or that you've done rather, that you gravitate towards that moment.
That moment, that pivotal moment where there's nothing but to move forward and to jump, to get close to the... Yeah, it's a moment of vertigo where you have like you have to abandon yourself to the force of the events. I apologize. I would need to think more about your question.
That's okay, because when you said vertigo, I was actually going to say all those moments remind me of that moment in Vertigo with Jimmy Stewart is holding on for dear life and the ground just sort of falls away from him at the very beginning. I was thinking it's a moment sort of in emotional terms like that. It becomes a way to sort of make the audience feel the kind of emotional jeopardy that these characters are feeling. Again, this thing we were talking about in the first half of thinking you know the world. And, you know, Paul has so much assurance in the first third of the movie. He's almost skipping in his way. He's kind of floating. And as the movie goes on, he gets more and more physical with it.
Absolutely. I think that at the beginning of Dune, Paul Atreides is a teenager that has no control over his life. I mean, he's like a following adults that are decide making all the decisions for him. And he's just a witness or someone that is embarking on the other people's journey. He's there. The only thing where he can be active is about what he will learn about this new world. His big weapon is curiosity. He will learn so many things about the environment, about this new Fremen culture that... It will help him later to adapt and to survive. But he's very passive in the first part of the movie. as thing goes, he will gain more and more power of his own journey, and he will put it in application what he had learned in that first passive part of his life. And it's I think it's becoming an adult slowly. I think it's something that teenagers can really relate to. I mean, that's this moment where you feel that you don't have control over your own destiny until you reach that point where you are on the edge of the cliff, and you will have to jump yourself. Yeah.
You talked about curiosity, and despite all these things that happen to these characters, these protagonists, these awful events that change their view about the world, they still remain curious, don't they?
That's the thing that I love in the novel, and Frank Herbert novel, is this idea that Paul, this appetite for knowledge that Paul Atreides has for this new culture, this idea that if he has the intuition that deep somewhere in this new world, there will be home, and that he will find in this new environment things that will solidify his identity. And that something for me at the time when I read the novel, it brought me a lot of hope.
It's a treatment. We're talking to director Denis Villeneuve about his newest film, this adaptation of Dune, on which he's one of the writers. You're talking about something, because to me, I think the real interesting addiction in the film, and the way you tell Paul's story, is an addiction to knowledge. I mean, once that appetite is open for him, he has to learn. And when we see the blue in his eyes in the first consumption of the spice, almost, that becomes the real hunger in his life, that appetite for knowledge, no matter where it takes him.
I think that appetite is about education, and it's where hope is. And I think that is something that I made sure that was very present in the writing, in the screenplay, because it's something that for me is like a more important thing than anything else. It's how Paul is open to a new reality, and that makes him such a compelling character for me.
Yeah, I mean, he feels almost like the great science fiction character, and that so many of these characters kind of go and travel and are kind of unchanged by their worlds, but change these worlds they go to. And in Paul's case, as we go through these books with Herbert, we can see how he's really, by absorbing things, not only a different person, but by the end of the trilogy, literally a different creature.
Absolutely. And it's something that is truly important, that at his core, it's a human being that wants to blend into a new society, a human being that wants to embrace a culture, but that will, by the end, find himself the instrument of colonialism, and that will himself be a burden for this culture. And I think that when he gets in contact with the Fremen at the very beginning, he has all the good intentions of being there to learn and to listen, but at the end, it will become something that he was afraid of, which is the kind of messianic figure that will lead the world into chaos.
In your first reading of Dune, there's so much of what you've done in your storytelling that reflects on the themes of the book. And picking up the first time, I wonder, you just start to see, and you don't have to answer specifically, but see, oh, I see what this is. I see who this guy is. Basically, he has to put his feet on the ground to be able to understand people, because he's not really connected to people.
I don't think I envisioned the book at that moment intellectually that way, but viscerally, probably I received the book like that. Yeah, someone that is disconnected from the world, being raised in a bubble, and that will face reality and receive the impact and the violence of reality. For sure, there's something that deep spoke into my subconscious in some ways. Yeah, definitely.
But you mean for all these people living in bubbles in Dune and things that you made before, finally your movies are almost always about hope at the end.
I think that this conversation between us, my friend, is in some ways closer to a psychotherapist session. That is, and welcome everybody to my inner world and exploration of I don't know if it would make any sense, but we are touching things here.
Well, I'm asking because of all these dark things and these, and at some point, real or fantasy, there are demons let loose on the world and your work. By the end, we feel that there's hope for your protagonists. They can get past these demons that have visited them. In some ways, they're responsible for even.
I will say that I believe hope for me is that we can get rid of cycles. Hell are cycles. And that we can learn and get out of those cycles of violence or neurosis, or the idea that human being can evolve. And it's something that is where I put all my chips. and that's, I think, something that is very present in some way or the other in my movies. The idea that there's like someone at the core of things can actually evolve. And it sounds stupid maybe, but it's, for me, it's very a deep statement that humans are not condemned, and that history is against me. I mean, we keep repeating the same mistakes, but I truly believe that there's hope and that we will evolve as a species. Yeah.
Well, that hope is at the end of all these stories. And you know, I mean, I think there's even, we feel a kind of level of exhaustion because you put your protagonist through so much that there's hope at the end of all this. And I'm not saying that these climaxes are happy endings or anything, because in many cases they're not. But we sort of see that by the end that there has been some emotional knowledge that has been gained by your protagonists, that they know better who they are.
The thing is that I'm not nihilist. I mean, I love to believe in a brighter future. I'm very American. I don't know. That's the way things can make sense for me. So it's like it's not original, of course, but it's. I truly believe that one day we will find a way to make the world a better place. I truly believe that. Yeah, it's something that I have deep. There's a deep anchor inside me, and I think it's something that transpires in my movies. I hope.
Well, Denny, I'm going to give you a happy ending and tell you we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for doing this.
It was a pleasure. Sincerely, I deeply love this talking with you. I thank you, and I'm sorry if I was not able to answer properly to all the questions, but those were awesome questions. Thanks.
That's very kind. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always great. And congratulations on the movie. When do we see the second part?
It should be ready on time for fall 2023, which is tomorrow morning. So that is why I'm full on working on Dune Part 2 right now.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to take you away from that, but thank you for giving us something to think about again. Thank you for your time, Denny.
Thank you. Thanks to you. Take care.
You as well. My guest is Denny Villeneuve, whose new film, of course, is Dune, his adaptation. Part of our production staff includes, of course, Katie Gilchrist. Thank you, Katie. The show is produced and edited by Rebecca Mooney. Better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.